How many of you men, at one time or another, went to a Promise Keeper conference? Did any of you? We had quite a few men back in Michigan that would go to those events. And really, stadiums full of men all around the country for a period of years in the early to mid-90s. I went to several of those events, went to events in Detroit, at the Pontiac Silverdome, went to a pastor's event down in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia Dome, where I had the privilege of joining with about 55,000 other pastors, went to a million-man march, it wasn't called that, but a million-man march in Washington, D.C., and prayed on the National Mall and so on for our nation with my son, Aaron, just a small boy, made that trip with me, and I have a lot of great memories. I made a few observations throughout that period. A lot of men's issues were being addressed, and family issues were being addressed, and essentially what was being said was that the real key to revival in America and to really a restoration of our national foundations and so on came out of the home. It came from dads. And those things were very challenging. I was thinking of that again here as the group sang the song Courageous. That movie came out a few years ago, the movie Courageous. And it was a powerful movie. If you've not seen that, I highly recommend that. Very well made Christian movie with great production values, if you will. And I know that it affected deeply a number of men in the congregation I was pastoring. And my mind this past week was going back to a particular man. He's a good dad. He's not a perfect dad. He has tried so very hard over the years. And so in a sense, my message is for him. But his story is the story of a lot of men. Because one of the things that I learned through the conversations, in many cases, that came out of those Promise Keeper events was how much pain that many men carry. And it's a pain that does not sometimes want to go away. It's a pain that goes back to their own childhood and to their relationships with their dads. And I just have to say, I experienced some of that kind of pain in my own life. And I probably thought that I was different, that I was somehow unique in the feelings that I had. And I found that that was not the case. And so I really do not doubt that I will be talking in the message today to a majority of the men who are here today. That would be my observation, that would be my experience, is that there are far more men who will be able to connect with this message than who will not. And so I want to share with you what probably for many of you would seem to be a very odd topic to talk about on Father's Day. Forgiving Dad. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we clearly understand that God is a perfect Father? It's one of the things that I guess struck me over the past few years as I was really studying again. I'd preached many times the story of the prodigal son. It really came home to me and it really struck me that here is the father and he has two sons who have problems, two sons who have issues. He has a younger son who acts out upon his rebellion and he takes all that he has, demands of his father, and then he goes to a far country, the Bible says, and he squanders all of his wealth in wild living. But he has an older son that also has a problem and has an issue because he shows a lack of compassion and mercy toward his brother at the end. He questions his father's decisions. And so I found myself having to look at the fact that in that story you have a perfect father who still has two imperfect children. And so I just want you dads to take whatever guilt you feel and just set it aside. Can we do that for today? I think all of us feel as if we could have done things better. I think all of us have at least some minor regrets. The time that we maybe didn't have our priorities exactly straight, the time we didn't show up when someone would have wanted to have us there, the time that we maybe were under stress and we spoke more harshly and we were too short, those kinds of things. And just allow you for this day to embrace the fact that you perhaps have not been perfect. Question for dads. How many of you are human? How many of you are well aware of it? Now let's push on to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So I want to share with you again about my friend. He had tried so hard to be like Dad. I don't think I ever saw a man try harder to be like Dad. To him, his dad, if there was a Mount Rushmore of fathers, would have been on that mountain. His dad had been a strong leader. His dad was a man of immense strength, and he viewed his dad as being the constant in his life. He viewed his dad as being, I think, the ideal Christian, viewed him as being a man he could not measure up to the point where it kind of threw him a couple of times into a bit of crisis. He was working in his job, skilled tradesman. He was working 80 hours a week, and then he was working 90 hours a week, and he was good at what he did. Then he was working 100 hours a week, and on several occasions, I know that he wasn't able to even drive all the way home between shifts at work. And so he would get a hotel room, sleep 3 or 4 hours if he could, and then go right back into work. And I warned him. I said, you're going to make a mistake. You're working too many hours. You're going to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, when you're working this many hours, it's absolutely inevitable. When you make a mistake, they are not going to be kind. They are not going to be understanding. You're going to make a mistake of a large enough magnitude at some point. They will feel no loyalty toward you. They will fire you. You must cut back the number of hours you work. And no, no, and no. And then the day came. He made the mistake. And it kind of worked out along the same lines that I had expected that it would. And he was devastated. He was devastated to have to go home and tell his family that he did not have a job because he took great pride in it. Devastated to tell his family that he really didn't know where their income was going to be coming from and how they would make their house payments and how they would take care of all of these things. He came and he talked with me about that, And then he said the thing that bothered him the most was this. He said, my dad was able to work his entire working career for just one company, and I wanted to also. And I feel as if I've failed. And I shared with him, I said, you know, I said, your dad came up in a different time. He had an entirely different set of circumstances. Well, I've always looked up to him, you know, and what a great worker and what a great provider. I said, you know, you can't see this because you're too close to it. But I said, you've worked far harder than what your father ever did. You've put more strain upon yourself, and you have tried to be excellent in every way, and you have been excellent, and yet he carried that sense with him. And so if you could fast forward a few years, I had another discussion with him. What had come out was that many, many, and I want to emphasize many years before, his dad had failed morally. And it had always been secret. But then it came. And it came to my attention, and I asked his dad about it. I knew he would tell me the truth. You don't always know that with a person. I knew he would tell me the truth, and he owned it. And he called his kids together, and he shared with them what had happened all of those years before. And so I saw my friend, this son, just a few days after that. And I knew the discussion had taken place, and I asked him, how are you doing today? His words to me, when I woke up that morning, I had to make sure the sun was still rising in the east. I wasn't certain of anything anymore. So, many feelings. Some sons feel as if they've been let down. Some sons feel that they can't measure up. In his case, he felt both those things. He felt that he couldn't measure up, and he felt that he had been let down, and he had a sense of betrayal, that he had been trying so hard to live up to a legend rather than a reality, to an appearance rather than fact and rather than truth. And so I would suggest that he was confronted with a need to forgive. But I've known others who had a need to forgive. And it wasn't for necessarily that kind of thing. Sons in particular, children in general, you need to forgive your father. Now, let me just share, before I go further, why you need to forgive. You need to forgive primarily for you. Because you need to cut it loose. You need to have some of that baggage gone. If we're going to be men of courage, if we're going to be the kind of men that will take back a nation, we cannot do so while we have this weakness that comes from having our own internal foundations lack a solidity. We can't be carrying all of the baggage and really be freed to be the kind of men that God wants us to be. We can't focus our efforts on being like our Father in heaven if we're still trying to resolve all of that stuff from our fathers here on earth. And so I just am sharing the message with you guys because I sort of understand it. And you might feel within yourself, well, you know what? Dad is gone. The fact that Dad is gone, for some of you, doesn't mean that those feelings are gone. In fact, in some ways, it just makes it worse, because now can have a sense, you can have a feeling that it's too late to repair whatever might need to be repaired. But God still can do the work that needs to be done within you. And so, sons, you need to forgive your father if he was critical. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I know what the answer would be anyway. Well, I'll tell you, just so, wives, just so you understand who you're married to. If I asked for a show of hands and I got an honest show of hands, about 90% of the men in here would raise their hands and say, I feel that my father was overly critical. I feel as if I could not measure up. And if that was the case, it leaves a tremendous amount of pain. Because here is what every son wants to hear from his father more than any other thing. He wants to hear, I'm proud of you. And so often for men, it's as if that one thing is forever just out of reach. And those words that he longs to hear cannot quite be earned. He cannot quite get to that place where he feels that he is truly blessed and affirmed. Now, someone might think, well, we shouldn't need that. But you know, in the Bible, people got that. How many of you have ever noticed where it will talk in the Old Testament times about men blessing their sons? What a powerful thing that is. I had a sister who was pretty certain that I had some of those feelings that I had to deal with myself, and so she bought me a book. She was always buying me a book. She was always trying to fix me. And it just occurred to me, I'm addressing my wife right now, it just occurred to me that she's given up. I haven't gotten a book in several years now. She knew that there had been an unease at times with my relationship with my own father, and he would acknowledge that if he was here. We both would acknowledge it. And I do want you to understand, I still loved him. And even when I, at times, could feel exasperated with him, I still loved him. And I wanted to hear those words. And so I just want to say that on the night that I did hear them, I didn't hear them just in exactly those words. But when I did hear them, I remember thinking within myself, self, it would have been nice to have heard these words 20 years before. But then as time went by, it didn't matter. It didn't matter that I hadn't heard them 20 years before. I was just very gratified that I had, at the last, finally heard them. Be it ever so begrudging, the way in which he expressed it was to say, with a look of utter disappointment on his face, you've surpassed me now. I found it to be actually rather amusing. And it was rather insightful. But sons, I would just say, if Dad was critical, forgive him. If he was harsh, overly harsh at times, forgive him. I had a man in Indiana years ago tell me a little bit about his dad, and the one story, when I heard it, told me so much about his own father. He said he would call up the stairs in the morning. You know, they lived in an old farmhouse, had quite a large family. He would call up the stairs in the morning, and if he had to call up the second time for you to come down, it was already too late. There was going to be a lot of discipline that was going to be attached to that. And I found myself, as he shared those words, thinking, boy, that tells me that Dad was a person who really instilled a sense of promptness and a sense of responsibility, but there wasn't necessarily a lot of grace that was really being taught and really being displayed in that. Sons, you need to forgive your father if he was absent. Absence takes a lot of different forms. I knew another man. He's another friend, good friend, who I think to this day still feels as if he didn't have enough of his dad while he was passing through his teen years. And the reality was, his dad hadn't run off. He wasn't gone. He was just working third shift. And he worked third shift for years and years and years. Well, you know, our schools don't function on the basis of third shifts. They function on the basis of the first shift. And so he and his dad kind of walked past each other for a lot of years. And if he was here with us today, I'm quite sure that he would be open, because that's his makeup, that's his personality. And he would say he was gone too much. He missed football games, he missed a lot of things that I did, and I felt as if he simply was not there. But then I also remember the time just a few years ago, when I was heading to Chicago with our two sons. And as we got talking, one of them, I think my younger one, indicated that he wished that I had spent more time at home while he was growing up. And as we went down the road driving, I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go there. And I said, you know, guys, there have been people who have said that I'm a workaholic. I said, I never really have thought that I was. Did you feel as if I was? And they began to laugh. They said, oh, hello. And so I had to kind of look at that, and I had to do my best to do just a little bit of repair. So I found myself thinking, well, I sure hope you guys forgive me if you think I was gone too much, but I do remember the night when they were small children, when I was going out for yet one more meeting at night, and my two sons were standing in front of the door in their footed pajamas, trying to bar the door, weeping, asking me not to go one more evening. So sometimes our dads were absent. You need to forgive your father if he was unavailable emotionally. And that's one thing, I guess, that I've heard from a lot of sons. I can't say that I experienced that, but there have been a lot of sons who have wanted to be able to talk with their dads about what they really, really were feeling. And they've gotten some variation of this response. Well, I'm old school. We don't talk about the things we feel. And you need to forgive your father if he was irresponsible. That was the very farthest thing removed from my experience in growing up. But there are sons who have had that experience and have had it deeply. The son whose dad simply walked out the door. The son whose dad not only walked out the door, but paid no child support, did nothing to take care of his kids and of his family, neglected his wife, neglected his family, neglected his responsibilities. There are men like that in this world of ours. And you need to forgive your father if he was a poor husband who mistreated your mom. Some of those wounds are among the deepest. The son who grows up in an abusive atmosphere, and he loves his mom, and he wants to protect his mom. He tries to put himself between the abuse and his mom, but he's unable really to stop the abuse in that kind of situation. It leaves a lot of scars. But forgiving your father's failures can liberate you from a lot of things. It can liberate you from much of your internal emotional pain. You can begin to walk through life without having to carry those things that no one else knows sometimes fill you about 90% of the way emotionally. And so you have to turn your emotions off in that kind of a situation to be able just to deal with your own pain and get through your own days. And that then creates this whole cycle where, because you have to shut your emotions off, there are other people finding you emotionally unavailable. There are other people being wounded and being bruised by that. It can liberate you from many unrecognized misconceptions about God. The chances are, since we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," that if your father was one of those critical types that you could never please, that whether you realize it or not, that you carry that view into your view of God. That you view God as being someone who is harsh and critical and who cannot be pleased. And perhaps you live your life in a little bit of fear that you are failing God and failing God and failing God. And if we were able to talk long enough, you might be able to sort it out. And you might be able to see, you know what? It's not God who had those expectations. It was Dad. Forgiving your own father's failings can liberate you from a chronic sense of personal failure and inadequacy. There are far more men who feel inadequate than are, far more men who feel as if they're failures than who are. It can deliver you from a sense of guilt for carrying unresolved resentments and a spirit of bitterness. And in my mind, it can deliver you from a vague sense of incompletion that a son's unrequited love and desire for affirmation can create. Because those things can leave a hole within a man. Now, I want to go a bit further. The real reason that it is sometimes difficult to forgive our own fathers is that we so often had such high expectations for them. When sons are small, they usually think that their father is big and powerful. When sons are small, they usually think that their dads are always right. And when sons are small, they usually think that their father is the man they want to someday become. The most common cause for failing to forgive a father is that we don't want to believe that we need to. Sometimes, by the way, it wasn't Dad who taught me to drink so much coffee, it was Mom. She once, when I asked her if she was drinking too much coffee because she was having heart palpitations, looked at me as if she was utterly confused and said, I really don't drink that much coffee." I said, "Well, how much do you drink?" "Well, you know, a pot of coffee in the morning and a pot at night." Yeah, that's my mom. Most common cause, again, for failing to forgive a father is that we don't want to believe that we need to. Sometimes we hold ourselves responsible for our father's failures. Children engage in what is called magical thinking. And so if Dad is broken, the tendency of a child is to think, "Wow, it's something I said, it's something I did. He had to get after me. It must be that I messed up, and that's really what's causing Dad to have all these problems." Sort of like the abused spouse, who blames herself for the husband's abuse, who sometimes was taught throughout her early life, if you would just be careful around Daddy and not say the wrong things to set him off, this wouldn't happen. And so that gets internalized. Understand what I'm saying? And we begin to think that we can control that other person's problems. And when we think that we can control them, then we feel responsible when those problems are still present. We sometimes think that it is going to be impossible to love our father unless we find a way of excusing his behavior, because we can easily confuse our need to forgive our father with holding them guiltless. I just want to say that with all issues of forgiveness, I believe that's the core and the heart of the issue. We find ourselves thinking, "Well, but they were guilty." I think the most healthy thing that you can do is to look at it truthfully. How many of you know that the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free? Have you really embraced that fully? That only the truth will set you free? That nothing short of the truth will set you free? And so probably there are at least a few in here today where the very best thing you could do is to quit trying to figure it out and just say, he messed up. He was wrong. Yep, it was sin. It was failure on his part. Then you can forgive it. You can't forgive it until that takes place, because the only thing that can ever truly be forgiven is sin. That's part of the problem of our culture today, in my estimation, is that we don't want to believe that there is sin. We don't want to believe that there is wickedness. We don't want to believe that there is genuine failure and so on. And we get ourselves all confused trying to think our way around that thing. So how about this? Dad, you were wrong, but I forgive you. You were wrong, but I forgive you. You know, you're not free to be a different man until you can do that. You're not free truly of that stuff until you're able to look at it clearly, see that it was wrong, see that it's not what you want to emulate and so on, and free yourself emotionally from that sense of failure and all of the baggage and so on. It's an amazingly liberating thing. And so I'll go a bit deeper. If you need to forgive your dad, it will become far easier, first of all, when you have accepted the truth that you are an imperfect man and that he is just another imperfect man. There it is, in a nutshell. I remember the day and the effect it had on me when I figured out that my dad was just a man. I remember the freedom that I felt from that and the liberation that I felt from that, because when I recognized that he was just a man, that he was just all a part of that group of which the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when I recognized that he was just a man, suddenly I recognized that a lot of his failures and a lot of his shortcomings weren't because he intended for them to be. They were in spite of the fact that he desperately wanted to be perfect. And so it will have a big impact in your life when you can accept that fact. It will become far easier when you have accepted the fact that the only perfect father and perfect son are both in heaven. And it will become far easier when you've experienced a genuine healing of your own wounds. Some of these wounds are difficult because our memories wish to bring them back and bring them back and bring them back and bring them back. I think it's why Peter, and I'm not saying directly because of Dad or any of these things, I don't know, but it was Peter, recall, who said, and how many times should we forgive? Should we forgive 7 times? And the answer was no. I say 70 times 7. Because every time it comes back to mind, there's another wound. And so you have to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And then as time goes by, the wounds become farther apart and they become less severe in their intensity. Until the time can come, if you just keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving, that it no longer actually cuts, it no longer wounds. It is simply a part of our understanding and becomes a part of our wisdom. And couple of more thoughts. I would say that a sense of disappointment in the father-son relationship is inevitable, then, unless we can come to understand and accept that we are human beings rather than gods. Most men want to be heroes, at least to their sons. I will ask this one. How many of you guys, especially maybe when your sons were small, wanted to be viewed by them as a giant and a hero? I see some of this. Yeah, you can go ahead and do it. You can go ahead. Even if you're sitting beside them, you can go ahead. You can raise that hand because I know it to be true. And so imagine now the dynamic that you're dealing with. Because as your son grows, he sees you less and less as a giant. Because when he's small and he looks up at you, you tower over him. How many of you have had the experience of realizing, now my son is taller than I am? Dads, you know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could embrace that our task as dads isn't to be and remain a giant in our sons' eyes, but for our sons to become giants. And when a giant looks at a giant just sees another man. So this final thought, the pathway to male healing runs by the cross. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with forgiveness. The most damaged relationships can be repaired by forgiveness. And again, if you're here and you would have to say, well, Dad is gone now, I can't repair a relationship. Sure you can. You can repair it in your own mind. You can repair it in your own heart. And right now, that's the only relationship that you have, is the relationship of reflection, the relationship of memory. But memories can wound and memories can be healed. And God, again, wants you to be clear of it. He wants you to be free of it. Heavenly Father, I understand what a deeply personal message this is. It is for me. It is for a lot of men. And Lord, the ladies have been sitting here as well. And they've been hearing the message. And they're applying it in just slightly a different manner. They're applying it to their own relationship with Dad. And in some cases, they're applying it to their relationship with Mom. And there are some men who are sitting here who are applying it to the relationship with their dad, but they also right now are thinking about their relationship with their own sons. And so, Lord, I just ask that you'll help us to embrace the totality of it and the fullness of it, to understand that in every case, in every situation, the answer is love and the answer is forgiveness, that love and forgiveness are the things that allow us to become the people that you wish for us to be, that is what gives a witness and gives a testimony to the world, and that walking around our pain will never actually take it away, that only by going through the cross and only by receiving your power will we ever be able finally and totally to overcome it. And I just pray that there would be some liberation that would come. I pray that there would come forgiveness, not only of others in these relationships, but forgiveness of ourselves, that we would come to the place again of humility and understanding, wow, maybe I've held myself to a standard of perfection that is unrealistic, because you know our weaknesses, you know our shortcomings. And while we do not accept our shortcomings, we can accept the fact that we will have them because we are human. And so I just ask that you would do your work in each one of our hearts, and that someone today might set their burden down. I just ask that you will do this out of your love and out of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.